wonderful to see such a crowd here. I'm like Teddy. It does you good to see such a good crowd here on Thursday night. You were blessed, I guarantee you. Ron and I got to go this past week to hear some good singing, and we enjoyed it, had a good time together, and it's like I say, praise God, I'm back with you. We have quite a few here this morning, and I love senior adults along with the youth. I enjoy all people. I heard this week we had our 42nd anniversary of our class graduating from high school, and some of those people, boy, they'd got fat and ugly through the years. I'm glad I wasn't that way, I tell you. I heard a doctor, pastor, was ministering to senior adults, and he was visiting a doctor, and he said, "Doc, I need to know something." He said, "What's that?" He said, "Well, I've got a lot of senior adults." How many senior adults we have? Everybody over 55, raise your hand. Praise the Lord. Okay, got a lot of senior. How many under 55, raise your hand? All right, got quite a few more. It's young people over this side. All right. I said, "Doc, I need to need something to know." He said, it's a very touchy subject, but he said, "How do you know when someone is ready to go to the nursing home?" You see, that's what we run into. All of us face that, don't we? In our families, we have to know. And the doctor said, "Well, I give them a test." And he said, "You can give you people a test and see." So he said, "Fill a bathtub up full of water and give them all a teaspoon, a teacup, and a bucket." And he said, "Now, empty the tub." Well, it's obvious, isn't it? Only LD would take a teaspoon, right? He can't even hear me. He's talking. LD, you would use a teaspoon to empty that tub, wouldn't you? He's shaking his head, yes. How many of you would use the bucket? Raise your hand. All right. Pull the plug is the right one. All of you to raise your hand on the bucket, y'all need to go to the nursing home. Along with LD. And you happen to be under 55, don't you? Are you just, you under 55, aren't you? Okay. You still got it right now, listen. Well, that surprises me. But anyhow, we have a good time with the senior adults, and I've told a lot of people our church has young at heart. Anybody, we just go places and do things. It's amazing how many people, you're still qualified for the ministry even though you're over 55, aren't you? Man, God's not through with you. You've got a job to do, and that's what we need to be about, doing God's business. Going where God leads us to go, doing the things of God. Wherever He leads, I'll go. I love that song. Wherever He leads, I'll go. If you will, turn in your Bibles today to Genesis, the 12th chapter, verse 1 through 4. Abraham is a man that, I just love this man of faith. Look what he says. "Now the Lord said to Abram, 'Get thee out of your country, from your family, and from your brother's or father's house, to a land that I will show you, and I will make you a great nation, and will bless you, and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.'" Look what it says in verse 4. "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed to Haran." Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today that we can come into your house and lift you up through songs. And Lord, we do look forward to that day that we'll be in heaven. But God, while we are here, as we look at this man's life today, Lord, I pray that we will serve you. Lord, till all our years are gone, and you call us home to that glorious place. God, we give you praise. We lift you up today that you might be honored, you might be glorified in our lives, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen. Now, outside of the Lord Jesus Christ, Abraham is probably the hero of the Old Testament. I said the hero of the Old Testament. He's probably the greatest man or the greatest figure in the Old Testament, because the Bible says he was a father of faith. In Romans, he is called the father of the faithful. He's called a friend of God. Now, if you look at the Bible, you see the first 11 chapters of history are given to human history. Over 2,000 years are given to human history. And then the next chapters, from 12 the 14 chapters, are mentioned about Abraham. That's a lot of space in the Bible about this man. He's the only man called the friend of God. I believe that song I sing a while ago, "Wherever he leads, I'll go," is one reason that he was called the friend of God. When God spoke, Abraham knew only one thing. He wanted to trust God and obey God. That's all he knew. Trust God and obey God. And when you think of Abraham, what do you think of? Faith. A man of faith. He was a man of faith. So I want you to get that in your mind this morning, being a man of faith. Through faith, we come to Jesus Christ. No matter who you might be, the way you come to Jesus is through faith in Christ Jesus. Now let's look at this man we find in 1 through 4. The revelation that formed his faith. 75 years old. Now, do me a favor again. If you're 75 and up, would you raise your hand? I'm not trying to see how old everybody is. I just want you to know, God's not through with you. Don't ever think that, well, I'm too old for God to use. Abraham was 75 years old, and he left all he knew simply because God said, "Abraham, I want you to get up and go to a place that I will show you." And see, faith is simply a response to revelation. What is revelation? Revelation is the light of the Word of God turned on in your life. When you're able to understand something the Bible says, God's Word says, it becomes a revelation to you. And Abraham had a revelation here, and he responded to that revelation. God says, "Abraham, I want you to get up and go." Faith is your commitment to that revelation. It's that commitment to the commandment of God. You see, the Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you hear God speak to your heart, when you hear God tell you something, that is a revelation. It comes by hearing the Word of God. It comes through the preaching service. It may come through the Bible study time. When God opens up a scripture to you and you've been looking for a word in God's passage of scripture, and all of a sudden a light comes on and you say, "You know, I haven't seen that before." And God speaks to your heart. That's revelation. And the revelation that formed Abraham's faith was right here. He simply trusted God and obeyed God. Now, let me tell you what faith is not. Faith is not grounded in human resolve. You see, Abraham didn't leave Ur because he was wanting to leave. He didn't want to leave that place. He left because God told him to leave. You see, he didn't do it because it would be best for his family. That's not the reason he did. A lot of people say, "Well, preacher, I'm leaving this place and going somewhere else because I think it's best for my family." I want to say, well, what did God tell you? Amen. You see, you don't leave and move because you think something just necessarily best for your family. You better be sure God wants you to do that. You see, his attitude was, I'll go where God wants me to go, and I'll do what God wants me to do. Now, a lot of people today say, well, I'm going to go where I want to go, and I'm going to do what I want to do. I'm going to be happy. And then if everything falls down at their feet and life comes tumbling in, you know what they say? They blame it on God. Well, I don't know why God didn't bless me doing this. Well, you didn't ask God to do it to start with. You see, a Christian sometimes will, I've heard this a lot. I know the other preachers have gone through this. When it comes to marriage, a Christian will sit down with a non-Christian and say, preacher, we're going to get married. And I say, wait a minute. You know, that's, this boy is not saved. You sure you want? Yes, I just feel in love with it. You know what? I'll get him in church, preacher. You're not going to do it. Amen. It don't work that way. You ask God to give you a born-again partner in Christ. You see, and when that marriage doesn't work, that boy or that girl usually comes by and says, oh, but preacher, you know, it's just not working out, and, you know, they want to blame God for it. A Christian will go into business with a non-Christian, and that business doesn't work out. One of them may be cheating, or one of them may be crooked, and you just can't do business that way if you're a Christian, folks. You got to be upright and upfront with people. So watch what God wants to bless you with. You see, so many today, I'm going to name what I want, I'm going to do what I want, and I'm going to claim that. And then when it doesn't happen, they blame God. And they say sometimes, well, preacher, the word of God just isn't true because he says he's going to bless me and he hasn't blessed me. Well, that's not what the word of God says. We must get a response to the revelation of God. It's not our human resolve. And Abraham began when God says, I want you to get up and go out into a country of a land I will show you. And that's exactly what he did. Faith is not found in human resolve. Faith is not grounded in human righteousness. You see, Abraham was from Ur. It was back in those days, it was a pagan hotbed of the country. They worshipped a false god. They worshipped a moon god. There was simply nothing that Abraham had that would have caused God to call him out. It was simply God's grace that he looked at Abraham and said, Abraham, I want you to go to this place because I'm calling you out. And he obeyed the call. You see, God is one always doing the finding. God found Abraham. Abraham wasn't looking for God. God was looking for Abraham. And this morning you may be here and God's looking for you. And he wants you. And he's knocking on your heart's door saying, listen, I want you to get up and do this and do that. And that light of God's word is speaking to your heart. And so many times we say, yeah, but I don't want to, God. Abraham, the Bible says, got up and went. Faith is not grounded in human reason. Notice what God told Abraham to do, get out of your country. Now, that was about like calling Byron Jones out of Wreck Law. Kind of like getting Andy Griffin out of Mayberry. You know, he's been a fixture all his life, and he just didn't want to leave. Let me tell you something. Ur was a city. Now, when we think of Ur of the Chaldees, we think of a city that's bad, that's no good. But let me tell you, it was on the Euphrates River. They had rich soil there. It was a beautiful farming place. It was a beautiful place. It wasn't some ugly place so that Abraham said, you know, Lord, I'll be glad to get out of this place. No, it was in the midst of the beauty. Yet God said, Abraham, I want you to go. And the Bible says he went. Not only did he say, Abraham, I want you to go, he said, I want you to leave your kindred, father, mother, brothers, sisters. Leave the people you love. Folks, that takes faith, doesn't it? That takes confidence in God. Leave the resources that you have. The cattle, the sheep, the servants. He left. The Bible says he didn't know where he was going. He just knew that God wanted him to go. You see, he didn't know the where, he didn't know the what, and he didn't know the why, but he believed in the who. And the who was Jesus Christ. And he believed God wanted him to go, and he said, okay, Lord, I will go. And let me tell you, the where, the what, and the why really don't make any difference. If God says go, you go. If God says I got something for you to do, then you do it. Friends, don't ever be afraid to go where God tells you to go. He will bless you in that place. I remember when he told Elijah to go down to the river and I'll take care of you there. See, in the center of God's will, God will take care of you. Outside of God's will, well, that's disobedience. When God says, I got something for you to do, just do it. Now, that's the revelation that formed his faith. His faith was in God. His trust was in God. He was committed to God. Now, you see here, not only that, we see the response that fed his faith. The Bible says Abraham departed and Lot went with him. You see, God's revelation to Abraham, Abraham responded. That's a step of faith. Now, let me tell you something. You've got to respond to the revelation that God tells you. Just believing that God's going to take care of you is not enough. You've got to respond to that. Just knowing that you're lost this morning. Just knowing that, oh, preacher, I believe in God. Just knowing that there is a God does not save you. It is a response to that faith in God. Okay? You've got to respond. Just saying, okay, Lord, I'm going to go to the land where you want me to go, but never going, he had never got there, would he? That's not obedience to God. Someone says, faith stands for forsaking all, I trust him. Forsaking everything, I trust him. You see, doing what God tells you to do, that is faith. Responding this morning. So if God says, I want you to come for salvation, then you respond. If God tells you, I want you to teach a class, then you respond. I don't know about Vacation Bible School. I don't know if we're filled up there or not. But if God says, hey, I want you to work in Vacation Bible School, then you respond. You see, you've got to respond to that revelation that God shows you. There's a difference between belief and faith. And belief is not necessarily faith. Belief only becomes faith when you obey God. That's about as simply as I can put it, folks. Faith is the root of obedience. And obedience is the fruit of faith. Now, the Bible says in James, faith without works is dead. One of the greatest examples of faith in the Bible, I love this story. It's found over in the book of Luke. Peter had been out fishing. They're out on the boat. Peter knew how to fish, but they'd been out on the boat all night long, and guess what? They hadn't caught anything. Now, guys that fish, it's pretty discouraging to go out in a boat and fish all day long or all night long and not catch anything. Amen? You get pretty discouraged. But you know what the story is? Jesus comes to them and says, have you caught anything? And they said, no, we hadn't caught anything. Well, launch out your boat again. Throw your net out on the other side of the boat and let it down for a catch. Now, Peter could have said, Lord, what's the use? We've done this all night long. Pull in the net, throw out the net, pull in the net, throw out the net. We're tired, we're hungry, we want breakfast, we don't want to go back out in the boat. But you know what? That's our response a lot of times. God tells us, listen, I want you to come for salvation. I want you to do this. I want you to do that. We say, Lord, I just don't want to do that. I've done this before, and I don't like it. I'm not going to do it. You know what Peter says? Peter says, Lord, even though we've been out all night, and although we've cast our nets out all night long, nevertheless, at your word, at your command, we will let down the net. Now, that's faith, folks. That's not only faith, that's putting your trust and obedience in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Peter, if God says do it, do it. You see, faith is obeying God in spite of the circumstances. The Bible tells us we ought to be witnesses. Amen? Go ye therefore in all the world. Be witnesses for Christ. Well, witnessing is even if you don't think you can, God says do it. And so many people say, well, preacher, I just don't think I can do that. Have you ever tried? Have you ever tried to share your testimony with anyone? You'll never learn to share your testimony if you don't try. And if you rely on God's word, you know God says, I want you to be a witness for me. We know that, don't we? That's plain, simple in the word of God. You must launch out and try it. And I guarantee you, when you step out on faith and do it, you'll wonder why. Why have I hadn't done this before? It's so amazing what you can do if you'll only obey God's word. That's a great example of faith. Now let me go a little further. This may pinch some of you. I always hear people say, well, preacher, I just can't tithe. I don't have the money to tithe. You know, preacher, my bills are this and I make this and, you know, I can't do it. You haven't tried, have you? In your mind, you can't do it. But if you want to be trustful to God, if you want to be obedient to God, God says do it. God says do it. And that ought to be enough. You ought not have to wonder, well, should I? You ought to do it. You see, the way I look at it, you can't afford not to. Someone said, well, preacher, I can't afford to do it. I've got so many bills, I just don't know what to do. Well, you ain't doing too well what you're doing. You ought to try it sometime. Maybe God will bless you. I believe he will. Now, Abraham, the Bible says, did what God told him to do. He didn't discuss it. He didn't debate it with God. The Bible says he got up and went. And the Bible says Abraham was called a friend of God because he obeyed God. You see, I love my daddy. My daddy would tell me something, and I'd do it. I had to learn the hard way. I had to learn a lot of times. You know, I thought about running away one time. You ever thought about running away? You know, I thought about running away, but daddy always told me not to leave the yard. And so I couldn't get very far. I was going to be obedient to dad because I knew if I didn't obey dad, I was going to get in trouble. So as far as I could run away was the last pine tree or the oak tree down on the end of the property. Thought about running away one day, and mama said, where are you going to run? I said, around the house. You ain't going to get very far like that. But let me tell you something. Nothing will keep you close to God like obeying God. And nothing will keep you close to the family like being obedient to God. Friends, a revelation that formed his faith, he heard and he obeyed the word of God. Now, let me look at, I know some of you are probably saying, but I don't understand this passage of Scripture. For the Bible says, get you out of your country from your family and your father's house to a land I will show you, and I'll make you a great nation and bless you. And then it says he took Lot with him. He wasn't obedient, was he? There was a rebellion that flawed Abraham's faith. Now, a lot of times we don't like to talk about this, but I'm going to talk about it today. So when you study Abraham's faith, you'll discover that it was flawed from the very beginning, simply because he did not fully trust God in everything. His faith had some flaw in it. There was some trouble in his life. Simply, he did not fully trust God, and he got himself into trouble. Now, when we don't obey God's command fully, we get ourselves in trouble. One, there's disobedience there. Verse 1 says, the Lord said, go and I'll show you a land. That says he told him to get out of the country and leave his kindred. Yet he took Lot with him, the Bible says. Instead of going into Canaan land, he also stopped in Haran. That wasn't full obedience. And you know what? I thought about this, and we have a lot of halfway Christians in our churches today. We have obeyed God, but we stopped short of where God tells us to go. We stopped in Haran, you see. And our faith is marked by halfway obedience today. Now think about this. I've had people say, preacher, I don't know what's wrong with me. You see, I was saved many years ago, and I start questioning them. Well, what about your life? Well, you know what? I've had a lot of people say, well, preacher, I was saved for God, but I've never witnessed. That's halfway obedience, isn't it? I was saved for God, but I was never baptized. That's halfway obedience, isn't it? I was saved, but I've never tithed. That's halfway obedience, isn't it? You see, God says, I don't want you just to be halfway obedient. I want you to go all the way with me. We sing a song, all to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. And we don't show it in our lives, do we? We sing about it, but we don't show it. And partial obedience is complete disobedience to God. You can't be partially obedient. I tried that one time, and I got a whipping anyhow. You know, I never will forget mine. We had about 5 acres to mow, and we had pine trees. You can't mow over pine straw. It's just a mess. Pine trees are just a mess anyhow. But Daddy told us, he said, boys, I want you to go out there and I want you to rake that pine straw. Well, we had over 365 pines in our yard, what Daddy called a yard. I call it pasture land, but Daddy called it a yard. He said, I want you to rake that pine straw. Well, okay, he went to work. I and my brother came up with a brilliant plan. Get down to the end of the property where the wind was blowing and just light the pine straw. Brilliant plan. You don't have to rake it, just burn it. We watched it as it burned. We kept an eye out on it. It blackened the whole place. A bunch of ashes. Beautifully. Don't have to rake, just burn them. Daddy drove in. His beautiful yard was black. Do you think we got a whipping? Partial obedience. But Dad, we got the pine straw up. It's gone. But he didn't tell us to burn it. He told us to rake it. Well, you can decide, were we right or were we wrong? According to God's word, halfway obedience is disobedience, friend. When you're on the slippery slope of disobedience, you're going to slide, and I find a whole lot of Christians in this too discouragement. You see, when you disobey God halfway, you're going to be discouraged. You're going to be disappointed. And that's where a lot of people are in our churches today. They're disappointed and they're discouraged. And no wonder we run from one church to another church because we're not fully trusting God completely in our lives. And then there's just a belief, I need to get on through this message. I'll be taking up the second Sunday school. There was a famine in the land. Let me tell you something. When he got to Bethel, there came a famine in the land. And God told him, I'll take care of you there. I'll bless you there. But let me tell you, he didn't believe God, so he went down into Egypt. Now, Egypt is what? This is the first time Egypt's mentioned. It is a representative of sin. When you talk about Egypt in the Bible, it represents sin. Abraham should have stayed where God told him to be. But instead, he didn't trust God. That was probably because he was partly obeying God to start with. And he said, you know what? There's a famine in the land. I think I can do better on my own. I'll go down to Egypt where everything's groovy. But let me tell you something. There was sin down there. And Abraham should have stayed where God planted him. Trouble comes to our life. Don't let anybody tell you just because you're saved, just because you are in First Baptist Church of Gun Barrel, or you in any other church, it's going to be a problem-free life. It's going to have troubles in it. We're going to have a lot of troubles. But you know what? God knows where you're at this morning. God knows the trouble you're in this morning. God knows your life. Stay planted in God's Word. Don't get away from it. He's still Lord. He's still in control. Maybe he's trying to show you something. That's what he was going to trust. There's all kinds of tests in our life. And I believe God was putting him through a test. And his test was weak. Not only that, he had to lie. Disobedience led to disbelief, and disbelief led to dishonesty. Abraham was so weak that he couldn't deal with his wife. That in Egypt, he said, this is not my wife, this is my sister. He's afraid it's going to kill him and take his wife. So he said, this is my sister, Sarah. You know, he just went one place back to the other. And God revealed to Pharaoh that Abraham had lied. Man, what a testimony. What a testimony. A man started out richly in the faith of God, but his faith was flawed from the beginning, and he disobeyed. Halfway disobedience led to dishonesty and disbelief and ultimately to disgrace. You see, Abraham lost two precious things down there in Egypt. He lost time. If he'd have stayed where God wanted him to be, oh man, he would have been blessed a lot sooner. And not only that, he lost his testimony. I see Christians every day that are going into places where they shouldn't be, and they're losing their testimony. I see Christians every day that get on the internet and stuff and look at things, and they lose their testimony. When you are backslidden, let's tell you, you lose your witness for Christ. Abraham's faith was flawed, and it resulted in a fractured fellowship with God. God says, if you got sin in your life, I will not bless you. Let me tell you something, folks. Our churches are full of people with sin in their life, and no wonder we're not having revival in our churches because our disobedience is there. God says, I can't use a dirty vessel. Let me go on real quick here. I wonder right here, is your fellowship with God broken today? I'm going to tell you what he did. He repented. And that fortified his faith. Praise God. He says, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, seek my face, I will hear from heaven. He says in 1 John, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Friends, you can get back to God. Abraham rejected Egypt, the old sin, after he had been down there. And he got up and he went out of Egypt, the Bible says, and he went back to Bethel. Bethel is a place that he had met God at, folks. And the Bible says there, if you look over in the passage of Scripture at the last, he moved from there to Bethel and he built an altar there. And that was the first place that he'd call on the name of the Lord. Folks, let me tell you something. If you'll just go back to where you first met God, if you'll go back and get in God's Word and say, Lord, I have sinned, I've been disobedient, I've been partially trying to live the Christian life, but I want to surrender all to you. Today, the Bible says, He will forgive you. Man, some of us are like the psalmist says, we're stuck in the miry clay. We're stuck in the miry clay of pride. We're stuck in the miry clay of ambition. We're stuck in the miry clay of sin in our life. Oh, we're stuck, and we need God's hand to come down and pick us up. The Bible says, if you call, He will. Amen. He will. He restored Abraham's witness when he went back to Bethel. Folks, let me tell you something. That's what God wants us to do in our Christian life. He wants to renew our fellowship with us. And the altar of God is the place of sacrifice. The altar of God is the place that you come this morning to worship God. If you want to present yourself, the Bible says, as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, you need to start again, fresh and renewed. I try to pray every morning. Sometimes I don't. I'm ashamed of it. But most mornings I'll get started, and somewhere along the way God says, you didn't pray. And I'll stop right there and pray. And I always say, Lord, help me make it through the day. Help me not fall into temptation today. Help me not lose my temper today. Help me walk according to your will today. You know, that's what we have to do every day. I don't know about you, but the old devil throws them fiery darts at me one after the other. Sometimes it's a deacon, sometimes it's somebody else. I got good deacons around here. I know they pray for this pastor. Before we can worship, we must separate ourselves from the world. Worldliness will eliminate Christ from our presence. You know, if you will say today, Lord, wherever you lead, I want to go. And you will be obedient to that. God will bless you. Would you do that this morning? If you're here and you realize, man, I don't know Jesus Christ, would you come? The light's gone on in your life. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. The light's gone on. You need to obey. Just standing there, knowing that, doesn't save you. But the moment you step out by faith and say, yes, Lord, I'm going, He will save you. He will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Some of you are partial obedience to Christ. You just partially obeyed God's word. And like I said, partial obedience is disobedience. You need to come, get it right. He says, I'll forgive you. If you will, I'll forgive. I'll be faithful, He says, and I will bless you, and I'll bless those who bless you. Heavenly Father, I thank you today for your blessings. I thank you, Lord, for this time of sharing the Word of God. I thank you, Lord, as we come today. Lord, if there's someone here today that needs to make a decision, whether it's for trust in Christ as Savior, renew their commitment, or, Lord, if someone's looking for a church home, and this is the place you've led them. Lord, I pray that they might come this morning, for it's in your precious name, the name of Jesus, we ask these things. Amen.